All right. Well, when we left off before Christmas studying about Jacob, things that had gone on in his life, I had three different settings and readings. One writer said it's been 14 years. One said 20 and one said 25. But a lot had happened in that length of time. We know that Jacob had married both Rachel and her sister and had taken on, quote, two concubines. And where is it in here? I forgot it had. He has now 11 sons and a daughter and had acquired great wealth. More so than his father-in-law. But if now we've seen that little writing before, home is what?
Where your heart is.
Where your heart is. Anything else?
I'll go home and be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. I've never experienced it, so to speak, because I've always lived right here. But anybody ever moved away or gone away from their original home, but do you get a little homesick and you want to return back to where you started?
Yeah, I lived in Miami for a year and a half. My first husband and I, when Frank was a baby. He was working in Sulacaga at the plant that had up there doing ammunition for the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was the war they were. And they hired a bunch of people. Months later, they let all the 400 of them go. Mm-hmm. And so at that year in 54, you couldn't find a job. I mean, we come back to Montgomery. We'd been living in Montgomery. And he couldn't find a job. And he had a brother that lived in Miami, Florida, that owned a business. And he said, come on down here and you got a job. And then I didn't want to go with a new baby, even though I had met his people down there. I didn't want to go down there to live with some of them, you know. And I said, well, I'll stay here, me and the baby. And you go down there and work and get us an apartment, and then I'll come. And that's what I did.
But
we lived there for a year and a half. But we did have relatives down there, you know.
To help, yeah.
But we didn't go to church to start with, and that was something I really, really missed.
I have a visitor for y'all.
Come on in.
Hey, this is Gwen.
Hey, Gwen. But being away from your home, there can be a little homesickness, a little yearning to get back. And this is where Jacob is at this point. He sort of has this feeling that Laban, his father-in-law, is not treating him right, so to speak. And I thought it was interesting, and we'll see here that if in a situation like that, and in those days when you had more than one wife or more than a concubine, if you were planning on going somewhere, wouldn't you involve everybody? Well, Jacob only called in his two wives. He didn't worry about anybody else. He wanted to talk with them. And Laban, it starts out in Genesis 31. It said, Jacob had heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude towards him was not what it had been. So the Lord spoke to Jacob and said, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." And this is where Jacob called in Rachel and Leah to talk with them. Now, we have to also remember, going backwards, that, you know, why did Jacob leave to begin with? He had done something wrong, let's say, or tricked his father into getting wealth, and then the pressure got on him and he was advised to leave. Would it seem strange that by doing that, now he has become wealthy? God has blessed him. Why would you think that he would think his father-in-law is turning against him? But he talks to Rachel and Leah and he says, "I see your father's attitude towards me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me." He says, "You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. Now, the one little phrase in there, if we go back, did we really have a good feeling early on that Jacob really felt like God was his father? He mentioned earlier that my father, the God of my father, Isaac, but now he is saying that, there again he comes back to say that the God of my father has been with me. So is Jacob realizing, I've been protected? God has watched over me. And maybe it is time to leave. Because we go back when he was at Bethel, he did promise, God promised the land of Canaan to Jacob and his descendants. And he promised Jacob that his descendants would be numerous as dust. So there would be a lot of descendants of him. And he promised to bless all the people through Jacob and his offspring. But the key word there is, and sometimes we forget, God has also reminded him, "I will be with you. You're not going to be alone. I'm not going to put you out to do things on your own. I will be there with you." Do we sometimes feel like we're alone in our Christian walk? When things kind of pressure down on us, or things aren't as smooth as we want them to be. It could be from illness or lack of income or just a major happening in your life. Do we ever feel like, "Well, where are you, God? You know, I've been a faithful servant of yours all this time. Why is this happening to me?" But I thought it was interesting that when he talked to Rachel and Leah about what is going on, they both agreed that it was time to leave and we will go with you. I got thinking about this. If let's say I went to my wife and said, "Well, you know, I've been working for your dad all these years and he's cheating me, he's taking advantage of me, and maybe he really hasn't, but that's the way I feel. I want you to go with me. We're leaving." But what if she didn't want to go? Does families, can we create situations sometimes in families, between in-laws, let's say, to where I may be feeling pulled to help my side of the family, but I might shun your side of the family, so to speak, in the same situation. We all have to work together for the good of the cause. We all have to want to do that. But it, Jacob is saying, when he, even when he talked to Laban, and it's, the writer had pointed out that Jacob's purpose was not to prove Laban's treachery, but it was to prove God's providence over his life. Because there was a point in here where he said, Laban tells Jacob, the spotted sheep will be your wages. Then all the sheep were born spotted. Well, how do you think Laban felt? You know, what's going on?
Yeah.
And he said, if the streaked sheep will be your wages, then all the sheep were born streaked. So does Laban start conjuring a plan to get rid of his son-in-law? And I thought it's interesting. It's that there again, Jacob, the Lord appeared to him in a dream, or he had a dream. Verses 10 through 12, he says, in the breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. And the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, I answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. Was it reality? Or was it just something to jog Jacob's mind? Am I seeing this as truth, or what does this really mean to me?
Since things got loud.
Things got loud. That's true. But they go on, and if we backed up to verse 9, after Laban had talked to Jacob about what he was going to do and what he was do for him, it says Laban's flocks, his flocks of sheep suffered. They dwindled. Because if you look at the situation, all the newborn goats were then going over to Jacob's side. Laban's didn't reproduce any. All of his, they have to, reaching a certain age, they died off. They didn't have anything to move and grow on. So naturally, Jacob acquired great wealth in that. Is returning, when he was talking about that, in verse 13, it said, I am the God of Bethel, where you poured oil on the stone marker and made a solemn vow to me. He tells him to get up, leave this land, and return to your native land.
Well, now we will.
Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work, we're gone. But this is, there again, God working in Jacob's life. This is him talking to him, and he's promising him, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you. Look at what you've gone through. And I've been there all along, even though you might have ignored me a little bit.
Well, that just shows that God doesn't hold grudges.
No.
Look what he had done, and how God had, he had turned around, and how God had blessed him, and that's, he doesn't hold grudges. We're forgiven.
We're forgiven.
He's echoing the Lord's land. Mm-hmm. He's echoing the Lord's land.
Mm-hmm.
The land's Lord. We don't send children to the land's, the Lord's land.
Right. He takes us and uses us, and we're to teach our children how to do that.
No Jerusalem, no Jerusalem in the land's Lord of Echo.
Mm-hmm. But it's talking about, when you mention grudges, do we have a problem with that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, would life be easier if we just forgive and forgot everyone and
make the world go around?
Sometimes we forgive, but we don't forget.
Yeah, that's a big part too. Is yep. But I thought it was interesting that when they met, when he met with Rachel and Leah, he asked the question in verse 14, do we have any portion or inheritance? Oh, wait a minute, let me back up. This is Rachel and Leah talking, and they are asking Jacob, do we have any portion of inheritance in our father's family? Typically back in those days, it wasn't that the female gender was forgotten, but typically the lineage was their sons. Well, they did have two brothers. But are they asking Jacob, does our father really feel like that we're just outsiders? You know, what if we don't go with you, I'm just talking off my top of my head, if we don't go with you and we stay, are we going to have anything? Not true. They questioned again, because we had studied when a gentleman wants to marry one of the someone's daughter, they have to make a payment, so to speak. They have to give
a full-time payment.
Yeah, they're then thinking that their father took what Jacob gave him and had, instead of maybe saving it for them, he had used all of that of what he had sold them for, let's say, their purchase price.
Edge is a wedge.
But does it mean really and truly that Rachel and Leah have a hard heart against Jacob at this point? Because this writer brings out their attitude towards their father and the circumstances that were going on, it really doesn't imply that they disapprove of Jacob and what has transpired, because when we know when Jacob came in, he wanted to marry Rachel first. That didn't happen, and he had to work, I think it was 7 years, and then to get Rachel, he had to promise to work another 7 years. So really and truly, they could feel like, well, Jacob has done what Jacob promised he would do.
What makes the world go around, puppy feet?
But in verse 16, it says, in fact, all the wealth that God had taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. So they tell Jacob, do whatever God has told you to do. Now, if we back up in this a little bit, I did read where Laban did come to where the daughters were, let's say, meeting with Jacob or in their tent. Because he had heard, and I think it was Rachel, took some of his idols, his gold and silver and whatnot. And he came looking for them. He couldn't find it because she was sitting on them. And I thought, well, why didn't he ask her to get up and leave so he could search? But was that God's providence again, protecting Rachel, so to speak? What would have happened to her if Laban had found those things in her possession?
I'd put her to death.
Would.
Don't you think he would have blamed Jacob, not Rachel?
I would think so, that he tricked her into doing that. This is why you don't need to stay with him. You know,
he stay here with me. not go back to his country.
Mm-hmm. But the key verses in this writer, that it says verses 14 and 16, when they said, "Do we still have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. Surely all the wealth that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. So do whatever God has told you."
Thou shalt not want.
That's right. Because could we look at that and say that Rachel and Leah came to understanding, but to some conclusions? Number one, there was no inheritance for them. They saw that that was gone. Were they really a part of the family at this point? By name or by birthrights, yes. But has their father pushed them aside a little bit, trying to protect himself?
Money make the world go around, but beat dentist appointment.
Mm-hmm. Did Rachel and Leah see God's plan come a little bit clearer to them? They had watched what their husband had gone to.
In his own ways.
Mm-hmm. In his ways, in his timing. But then we see where they committed their responsibilities to Jacob. That was their husband and the father of their children. So this is the right thing to do. This is what we should do. But is it coincidental a little bit? I don't know if this verse or this was in there, but moreover now, Jacob has always referred to the God of my father.
Thought were forgiven. His thought were forgiven.
Mm-hmm. But in essence, it's kind of coming around that now he is not saying, but he's realizing that is my God too. And if I place my trust in him, then he will be faithful to me.
More to come.
There's a lot more to come. So, how do we judge God's faithfulness to us?
The way he sits himself.
Do we announce
himself to become?
Sometimes we might not completely understand it, but sometimes we just keep on having faith, and then you see the whole, and that's hard sometimes when you don't see what you want to see or things happen. But he kept on, and then God showed him about the sheep and the ones that are spotted and the speckled and all that, and it was provided for. So I think he started seeing God's plan little by little.
Mm-hmm.
His judges give him righteousness.
Yes.
We see the little picture. He sees
the big picture.
Like Brother Willie says, we only see this much where God sees
everything. Everything.
And I think Jacob started the whole picture. And I think Leah and Rachel did too. You know,
mm-hmm.
God, and that's why they, and I was just looking, it said, it didn't say do whatever you think's best. It says do whatever God has said you.
Mm-hmm. Blessed in the salvation of army.
Mm-hmm. So, in our Christian life, in our Christian walk,
His smoke are his wages.
Mm-hmm. Do we sometimes feel pushed away, or why hasn't God blessed me the way he's blessed this person over here? But in reality, you start looking at, did God really bless that person with what they've got? Or not in this case. Are there cases where people gain things the wrong way? It's not God's blessing in life.
It starts from a allowance, the word of allowance.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' hands. His hands was holy in the spirit.
Always.
Was looking to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. We always need to do his work. But, what's the net?
That's it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me again what your name is.
Glenn.
Let's stand and do our benediction.
My mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Okay. All right. You come into worship? Okay. All right. Go to